how long have you served on the council in the past, and what has you decided to run again for the council?
Let's see now. I think I ran in late 2003, so I served from, 03 through 12. I ran for re-election after the first four and then and served again. So let's see, of that time, I think I served 3.5 years as mayor pro tem and then 4.5 as mayor. So yeah, had the opportunity to be there before. Right now, I haven't been there for 5 years now. So and I have had some interest in it all along. One of the things that I was encouraged to see that Jim is staying, Jim Freneau, the city manager, because if I had run, which I am going to do now, I wanted the opportunity to work with him because I think he's doing a really excellent job. And, of course, I know Bob and Shane and some of those folks. And, I don't have a big agenda. I don't have a lot of criticisms of what's going on right now. What I do see is a lot of positives. There's a lot of great things that's about to happen for the city, I know, and it's really not all gloom and doom. I know that the PD is adding people now. They've added some officers back, and through that effort, some of the crime is actually going down. We still have some of the in-your-face stuff, but the crime numbers have actually gone down. The same is true of the fire department. Now, the fire department has one new individual, and if they follow through with the SAFER grant, I think they can get five more, so they'll increase by six, which is really, really important to Chief Trexel down there because it's darn hard to make all the calls that they make. And another area of the improvement is the nuisance ordinance. Staff has been expanded. They're going to, the other neat thing about the PD, of course, is that we're getting a new structure, and there's some money involved there, but that's all planned for, and so that's happening. Some years ago, they set a 15% goal on their reserves, and they will be able to add another $140,000 of that at the end of this budget, and so they'll be nearly at that 15%. It's kind of a self-imposed goal. But nevertheless, they're going to achieve that goal. That's good. There's other things out there, like they're beginning to, or they will begin to talk about a replacement or the options for Cascade Bridge, which has been kind of a problem for some time. They just haven't had the money. I know probably in 2010 when we talked about it initially, it was going to be about $3 million price tag. We don't have $3 million, or we didn't then. And right now, I think there may be some increase in TIF dollars, a few different things like that that's happening. So there's a lot of really neat things that are happening. I do remember that in 1982, we had like 273 city employees. And in talking to Jim just the other day, he tells me that they're down to 200 now. So the thing that has to be said first and foremost is that the city staff has always been pretty good, in my opinion. Those employees are pretty outstanding. And the reason I say that is because the same 200 people now are not the same, but 200 people now are doing what 273 people done before. They're still delivering quality service. So I think that's extremely important. You got to have that kind of staff in order to work with them. So, it's not gloom and doom. I see some really positive things. There's going to be some tough decisions to be made, and I hope, that my experience would help me get through that.
And that's what I was going to say. What are the qualities and traits that you feel you bring to the city council?
Qualities and traits, huh? Wow. That's a little difficult. I don't know. I don't know if that's a quality or a trait, but the experience is first and foremost in my mind. I had that. And I have a strong desire, and I like this community. I'm not from here originally. I came here in 1961 and adopted this place, and I would never consider leaving now. That's what I think of it. But I don't know. I seem to get along. When I retired from the fire department, one of the things that he the editor called me was, pragmatic. So that can be good or that can be bad, you know. I mean, it has to do with compromise, but not too much compromise. You got to be, I'll tell you this, and being on the council for 8 years, what you got to be is a team player. If you're not a team player, you're not going to have very much luck. And there's a number of things that, I don't know, I think personality-wise, my personality, I think, is probably okay. You know, it has all the qualities and the traits or the characteristics that got me through 8 years very well. I think that would do it again, you know, but I don't know. You know, it's hard to talk about yourself and how good you are because I've been a little humble in that regard. So,
are there issues that you would raise on the city council if you were reelected?
At the local level, not so much as it maybe at the state level. I'm real interested in communicating with some of our legislators because they truly have, for many, many years, balanced their budget on the backs of municipalities. They're great, great listeners, but I can never seem to get a lot of success out of them. There's things that it's been some time now, but we used to get equipment and machinery tax. It's all gone. There's a banking franchise tax that I think is still supposed to come to the communities, but the state just holds it. There's taxes like that that have dwindled, and so the funding to the communities has almost became non-existent anymore. But there are some funding that's still available. Road use tax, the gasoline thing, and all of that sort of thing is still available. So I just kind of like to think that we can hang on to whatever we can hold on to there. So I'd like the opportunity to talk to them and explain to them once again, you know, that you have to give us some consideration. I know that they're strapped there too, but I don't know. The property tax thing, I've always thought that needed some reform, but they avoid it like a constitutional amendment there. You know, they're not going to talk about it because it opens such a can of worms and nobody has the answer, but they need to. So, yeah, I have more of an issue trying to protect the cities and not so much criticizing them, but correcting some of the things that impact us. I don't know what the tax rate right now is about 16.33, I know. And I don't know. I think they probably generate something like $12 million or something like that out of taxes. That doesn't even begin to pay the way. So most people say our taxes are too high, you know. Well, yeah, maybe, but I don't know. If you want to do all that yourself, I guess you can.
You mentioned that there hadn't been anything that jumped out at you, but anything that you're really glad the council has done since you left, or maybe anything that you've been a little surprised that they did? Anything jump out to you with decisions that the council has made since you left the council?
Well, I was surprised at the trying to fund the reserve, and we briefly hit on that, but they established a goal at the time. I don't know what that goal was then, but it was 15%, and it is now. And like I indicated, that with this new $140,000, they'll be able to bring that nearly to meet their goal. That was something that I didn't think could be possible, although part of it probably was done through the tax raise. When I was there, we were dead set on keeping it at 15, the tax levy. Well, it's 16.33 now, so it's up a bit, but so is everything else, and you know. You go to the store, it's quite different. Yeah, everything gives me sticker shock, though, so, you know.
You've served on the council there, and TIF has always been a discussion. Do you think Burlington needs they have practices for how they've used TIF. Do you think there needs to be a more distinct, distinguished policy when it comes to TIF usage?
Well, I don't know if everyone in the community really understands TIF, tax increment financing. It's a little complicated in that some communities probably abuse the heck out of that, and if a community in a county abuses that, and say they've TIFed 80% of their community, that means 80% of those taxes from that community are not going to go to the county. Therefore, the other city is going to pick up that tax load, and that has happened, you know, throughout the state. Burlington, I don't think they're overly TIFed. I expect to see a little more TIF income revenue come in this year, and I think that'll happen. But the way that actually works, it's really not so difficult. The same taxes are there. What you do is you establish a certain area, and all the residences or dwellings or whatever happen to be within that area, you get a percent of those taxes go to fund infrastructure or whatever maybe that may take place in there. And instead of going to the county, it comes back to the city and they can pay for those infrastructure items. But so that's really what it is. So the community, though, that just says, okay, let's TIF as much as we can, and then when that runs out, we'll think of a new project, that's really not what it was designed for. It was truly designed for infrastructure and things like that to help developers. So when people argue that in the paper, I kind of am troubled a bit by that because it's complicated, and to understand it, we really need to ought to understand it before you really try to comment on it. But it's nevertheless, it's there. I think it's a good tool if it's used properly. If it's not used properly, it can be a disadvantage to a lot of folks. So there's good and bad, and I don't mean to ride the fence by saying that. That's just the way it is, yeah.
You mentioned early on the positives that are going on in Burlington, but then it's also with the crime that goes on and such. Do you think Burlington has an image problem right now?
Well, maybe a little bit, but it's developed over a few years. Although I did talk to Doug Beard, Chief Beard, the other day about the crime. And like as we talked, the numbers are actually down, but the in-your-face things, the blatant stuff out there is just so big that, you know, people are thinking the crime rate is up. Actually, the crime rate has gone down some. And I can't give you those figures, but I'm sure Doug could or the chief could. But they have gone down. They've consistently gone down over the years. There's some changes for that and some reasons for that, though. And he indicated to me that with the fertilizer plant, there were 3,000 people in this community that were not here before. Those folks are pretty much gone now. That's not to say that they were all bad people by any means, but it did with that group. You certainly did get an increase in the rate there. The other thing that some folks refer to as a Chicago influence or whatever seems to be diminishing. I don't know whether the influx of people from Chicago is diminishing or what, but there's not as much crime. They've got a couple more officers than they had a few years ago. They can do a few more things. The chief went to the judges, for example, and said, hey, hold these criminals just a little bit longer if you can, and because maybe we can impact the retaliatory kind of things, and that has. So the crime rate has gone down some. But I think because of the in-your-face things that happen, the murder here, the gunshots here, the home invasion here, those are serious. Those are big things. So people have a tendency to think it's not so great. There was I don't know what that survey was, but the other day we were listed in one of the magazines as one of the top, what do they call us, macro.
Micropolitan.
Yeah, micropolitan, that's it. Yeah, communities that you might want to consider if you was going to move to it. So I don't know, it's difficult, yeah.
Probably the final thing, we can see the river from here, a lot going down along the riverfront with the flood wall, a lot of talk of what to do with that area. What would you like to see along the riverfront?
Well, having been a member of the Steamboat Days Board for nearly 30 years now, I'm no longer on that board, but I went through a couple of floods there in the 80s, the 90s, 2000, you know, and so, yeah. I don't know that what I am interested in is necessarily the way that what you're going to do. But I do know that we need this flood wall that runs a fair distance here down this riverfront, and we're going to have to go a long ways to fill that in. I think that's what the initial grant is intended to do, is to start some of that. I think down on, well, like the old railroad station, for example, and things like that. I think Matt, Linda, was just in here, and Matt, one of his goals is to kind of reopen that, I think, and get that going. But I always said, hey, you can't do that unless the flood thing is resolved. So I see that going down by there. I hope that it can go from one end to the other and quite effectively. I don't know what they actually have to raise that to do that. But it's going to change the complexion of our riverfront. I guess if I had any input, it would be, let's don't change it so much that it looks ugly. You know, I'm not looking for a wall down there that just shuts us off from the river. But on the other hand, I would like to see a wall that's going to hold this water back. We have some issues down there. The one is the Hawkeye Sewer, and that's the one that the water is, it's actually below the level down there. And that sewer goes way out on West Hill. But it's a really large sewer. I've had the opportunity to go down in there when I was on the fire department. It's like 30 feet wide and 30 feet high. It's enormous. But we got to do something down there with the gates to be able to manage that water so that it's not going to feed back, come up, pop up in everybody's sewer and be, you know, circumvent the whole issue. But I'm sure that's part of the, it's got to be part of the thing. I haven't been privy, of course, to the specs for that the thing yet, but I'm sure that's one of the major issues that they'll have to deal with.